You know, I want to talk a little bit about learning to listen to your heart. You know, if you're going to be successful in life, spiritual life and natural life, you got to learn to listen to your spirit where the Spirit of God dwells. You know, you need to learn this. I had the privilege of being taught this when I was younger and in my teenage years. And, you know, one night I parked my car, and because back in the 50s, we would cruise up and down the main drag of the town. I mean, there in Garland, we would go, the square was here, you go out here to Lindy's number one, drive around it, come back, go around, go out, and then go down here to Lindy's number two and turn around and do the same thing all over again. Sometimes stop on the square and stop and talk to some buddies or somebody, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? These young kids don't know nothing about that kind of stuff. And so I was up there, and so I got in the car with a bunch of us guys, and we were driving around and laughing, joking, and going on. And finally, one of the guys said, "Hey, let's go over such and such a town and stir up some trouble." And when he said that, something on the inside of me says, "You better get out of here." And I told them I wanted out, and they didn't want to let me out. And I told them stop the car anyway. And finally, they did. You know, they called me yellow back in them days and all that stuff. But by that time, we was a little bit out of town, about maybe 5 miles, maybe four. I started walking back, and one guy's car stopped. It was one of my buddies. He said, "What are you doing out here?" And I told him what's going on. He said, "Them guys are going to get in trouble." And they did. They all got put in jail and got in serious trouble. And it's simply because I was trained, even as a teenager, to listen to my spirit on the inside, because I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I've heard Dad say it many, many times, we ought to be more conscious of the greater one on the inside of us than we are anything else. Anybody ever heard him say that? You know, you have to learn to respond to situations according to the Spirit. You know, sometimes people are looking for something spectacular or some supernatural event or somebody to give them a word. But you know what? Most of the time, God doesn't speak to you that way. Now, he may speak to somebody, but it has to confirm something that you already have been dealing with in your heart. You know how many letters and people I get that have a word for me? Even out on the road sometimes, somebody want to give me a word. I just look at them and then I don't pay no attention to it. But most of the time, it's not even something that I would even do in the natural anyway, not much less the spiritual. You see, if you got to learn to listen to your heart. Now, all I'm doing is doing a little bit out of my book back there called Listen to Your Heart. I got a book back there. Actually, there's two. One of them's the regular one, and then Denise and some of her people in the youth department did one, and they used some more modern scripture, and they put questions at the end of it, and I really like that book better than the original one. But you know, we got to learn to listen to the Spirit on the inside. I don't care what's going up here or what's being said. You know, in Psalm 16:7, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. That's the New King James. The NLT says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. These verses are telling us to listen to our heart. Sometimes people call it an inward knowing. But as believers, we need to understand how important it is to be more conscious of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us than we are the natural when making decisions and moving along in life. You know, this is really interesting. I've been doing this for a while now, 66 years. And you can have a new Christian that just got born again. They don't know a whole lot. And they attend a meeting and they come back and they say, you know, there's something just not right with what that preacher was saying. See, they're so immature with the things of God, they don't know. But the Spirit on the inside of them is trying to tell them, wait, something's wrong. And yet, on the other hand, supposedly mature Christians can go to these meetings and they think it's great. And then when everything doesn't work right, they said, well, you know, really, something bothered me about it, but because of who it was, they just swallowed it hook. Don't ever swallow anything hook, line, and sinker just because of who it is. You got to be able to, you know the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit inside of you, and He will lead you and guide you and help you if you'll let Him. You know, actually, always make the Word of God the final authority, no matter what anybody says. I have known of people, ministers, that because somebody said they had a word from the Lord and told them they're to leave their church, and they did it, and their life become a mess. I told somebody recently, they said, well, so-and-so said I should do this or that. And I told them, I said, unless you feel that's something that God's already been dealing with you about, throw it in the trash. Oh, yeah, but so-and-so said it. I said, I don't care who said it. That's not right. The Holy Spirit is not going to send somebody to tell somebody to leave a church. Hello? Now, He might tell you yourself, but He's not going to send somebody. That'd be like somebody, you know, thank God for my office and my staff. There's people all the time going to them and telling them stuff. In fact, I just was reading where someone was talking about somebody wanted to start being able to use their gift to speak to people in the congregation and give them a word. And one of the staff members told him, said, well, that don't work around here. Number one, most of you have heard me teach, and when they said something, you just started looking at them funny because you don't know who they are in the first place. Hello. You know, you always need to check with the Holy Spirit in with anything, unless it's something that the Bible has already specifically said. In other words, like, don't be unequally yoked and other things. You don't have to check with the Holy Spirit, it's already here. Hello. You know, God has designed us to follow our inner witness, that inner spirit. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. The NLT says, his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're children of God. Now, every believer has the responsibility to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. He wants to guide you not only in spiritual matters, but in natural matters. Too many times, people don't rely on the Spirit on the inside of them with their relationships, with their finances, just with everything in life. God wants to help you not to make mistakes in your life. Somebody say, oh, minor decisions, it don't matter, minor decisions. God wants to help you with minor decisions and major decisions. You can get yourself in a mess making the wrong minor decision. You can really get yourself in a mess when it comes to major decisions, career, marriage, and stuff like that. God wants you to have wisdom. He wants to give you what you need, but too many times people are not ready to listen to the Spirit because they want to do it so bad. And the Spirit is telling them not to do it in the first place, but they really want to do it. You know, see, don't limit God in your life. He wants you to seek Him on any matter that comes up in your life. You know, we need to listen to the Spirit of God about things and not be in fear, but do what we need to do properly in the natural, but listen to the Spirit on the inside. Just because something looks good and smells good doesn't always mean it's good for you. God wants to help us in our leisure life and activities. He wants to help us in all of our relationships with other people. You know, the Holy Spirit may want to use you, if you'll listen, to help somebody else. You know, years ago, right over here, if you've ever been on that road that goes by our ball fields over there, there's a curve there. Well, years ago, there wasn't much over there, and there was hardly lights at all. It was really dark. And there used to be a paint and body shop, you know, collision shop over there, and there was a Rhema student that worked there, and he worked late because the boss trusted him, and so he would work later, and then he would close up and leave. Well, he was, you know, listening to some good music, Christian music, and praying and meditating while he was working on cars. And just all of a sudden, he just had this urge, he said, and of course it was the Spirit on the inside, it was an hour before he's supposed to quit, but to clock out and lock up and go. Well, you know, he fought it for a little bit, but then he remembered what he had been taught in class. He said, well, maybe the Spirit's trying to tell me something. So he did it. And as he closed the door and as he was locking the door, he heard what he thought was a groan. Well, he stopped and listened. He didn't hear nothing. So he walked onto his car. And just as he was reaching to unlock his car, he heard it again. And by this time, he was out by the street, and he looked where he thought it coming from, and he saw just on the ground, laying on the ground, was a small little light. And he went over there, and it was a motorcycle that somebody had lost control of. They'd hit the curb, and they were laying there injured pretty severely. So he immediately prayed for them, and then he went back in and called for help. And while he was waiting for help to come, he looked, and he didn't. There was no identification on him, and so he laid his hands on him, was praying for the guy while he was waiting for the emergency people to get there. And so they arrived, and so they took charge of him. And you know what? A few days later, he found out that this was a Rhema student that was going through there and was cutting back through there and then going to come up, cut up through the property and go to the student housing. And he had lost control of his motorcycle. It was a dark street. If he hadn't have done what he felt in his spirit to do, that boy probably would have died. Because at that time, this was years ago, when it wasn't as populated as it is now. You might even remember this. And his injuries were very serious, and doctors said, he probably wouldn't even have been found till the next morning, because that's nobody even went back over there, though there wasn't nothing back there hardly. And they said that his recovery was miraculous. But you see, because he was sensitive to the Spirit, he was able to help another fellow Christian. Sometimes we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. And if the Spirit prompts you to do something, do it. You know, I have had the Spirit prompt me to give a traveling minister years ago. This happened years ago. I was out on the East Coast speaking, to give him some finances. And I was able to slip it to him without him even knowing that I did it. And, I thought, well, look at him. He's prosperous. What does he need? But I had learned, all the way back from a teenager. This was years ago. I mean, this was in the, late 70s, early 80s, I guess. And it might have been when I was up there in Pennsylvania speaking at that Jesus deal. How many of you remember when they had those Jesus conferences all over? They had big crowds. Let me tell you a little story. I was speaking to one in Pennsylvania, and they didn't know me, and I wasn't, I wasn't known like I am today. And so they had me out under the trees in a little area, and it got so big they had to move me to another area. Finally, they moved me to an amphitheater. And the last night, they moved me to the main stage because more people started coming to my place. But anyway, I listened to my spirit, gave him the money. Anonymously, I got it to him. And I found out later that the amount of money that I gave him was what he needed that day to make a final payment on his house or a car or something, or they were going to repossess it. Now, I'd look at him. It didn't look like he needed anything because I knew him. I knew who he was. You see, what I'm saying to you is learn to listen to your spirit. And no matter whether you think they need it or not, if it's the Spirit of God is speaking, you, and it's not just your head, you know it's the Spirit of God, then follow the leading of the Spirit. What I'm talking about learning to listen to your heart. It's important. You know, Dad used to tell this story, and I might as well tell it too. So there's a businessman down in Texas, and he rose from great poverty to great wealth. And he earned, he made all of his money by making investments over a period of years. And he had never lost one penny. So I know that Dad had talked to him, and he said his success is that he learned to listen to the Spirit of God. He explained he made his investments not on what it looked like on paper. He said there'd been many business deals that on paper looked like a sure deal. And yet, when he prayed about it, the Holy Spirit said, don't get involved. Don't do this. And yet, he said, there are other deals that on paper, it looks like it's going to be a certain failure. And yet, the Spirit on the inside of me said, do it. And he said, I did. I've always listened to my spirit. And he said, if I don't get an immediate answer, then I take some time and spend some time in the Word and prayer until I know what the Holy Spirit is saying in my spirit. Then he went on to say, if they start pressuring me and saying, oh, this is, you only got this amount of time. If you don't get in the next couple of days, you're not going to be able to get in on this investment. He said, I always immediately forget that one. Because he said, anything that is putting you under pressure is probably not going to succeed. You know, the key ingredient is listening to the Holy Spirit. He spent time in the Word and prayer. You should do this every day. A person cannot listen to their heart, their spirit, without spending fellowship time with God. Most every day, I will say, as I come to the office, Father, I don't know what today holds, but I thank you that you would give me wisdom to follow your leading and make proper decisions. Now, I've told you about this before, but I'll tell it again because it illustrates what I'm talking about. And this is not somebody else. This is your pastor. When we were needing a loan back in the 80s, when the interest rate was sky high, 22%. And we had the money in the banks, had money in the bank. We had everything looked good, but we had never borrowed money. So they didn't have a record. No bank would loan us what we needed. Finally, my banker got a bank out of St. Louis, and the banker came down here. We were sitting right over there in my office. And thank God, you know, sometimes you can learn something from people you know that helps you. My brother-in-law is a banker. And so he told me, said, now listen, Ken, You ask him, you tell him, this is what you want. You want this, this, and this. And so we sat there and talked for a little bit. And he said, well, I don't know about this. I don't know. And him and my banker started talking. And I told him what I wanted. And I told him the deal and told him what interest rate I wanted and the whole thing, because that's what Gary had told me to do. And it was banking terms. And they started talking because my banker said, listen, I didn't tell him anything, because this guy was wondering how in the world I knew to do this. They started talking. I'm sitting at a conference table with my banker and this banker that had come in from St. Louis. I'm sitting there, and they're talking, and all of a sudden, the Lord told me, in my spirit, he said, get up and go over to your desk and sign those papers that you need on your desk that need to be signed. Now, that's a no-no. That's not something that you do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm in negotiation for a major loan, and I get up from the table and go to my desk. But I did it because I knew it was the Spirit of God. I knew it was my spirit telling me what to do. So I went over and I started signing letters. And they sort of sputtered to a stop. And the banker turned around and looked at me and he said, huh. He said, what are we going to do? I said, you heard my deal, take it or leave it. Now, I didn't think about that. That just came out, the Spirit of God. He's it. There's no other place to go. But I was following the leading of the Spirit. He looked at me and said, okay, get back over here. Let's sign the papers. Now, that's completely opposite of what you should do in a business deal. Am I right? How many of you business people? Am I right or wrong? Hello? But you see, I listen to my spirit. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not trying to preach you a sermon. I'm just trying to talk to you about listening to your spirit. But in every area, I'm not just talking about certain areas, in every area. Now, it's great to get good natural advice. We need that. And we need to listen to the economic experts and so forth and so on. That's important. But it does not mean that we ignore that, but listen to our spirit and bring the two together. Now, if God tells you to do something opposite of what you should do, I mean, in the natural, you better be sure it's God that's doing it before you do it. I thought about that a little bit before I did that, because I knew that, but I knew that that's what God said to do. Now, if you decide to go against natural wisdom, be absolutely certain that you're doing what God has told you to do. Okay? Now, you just can't do something and hope God's in it. Many times, many people, they want to do a certain thing so bad, even when they feel in their spirit that they shouldn't do it, they do it anyway. And then get upset. Well, God just said this or that. Well, he was trying to tell you not to do it, and you did it anyway. Sort of like Dad tells this story about this lady. He's pastoring, and she wanted to do something, and he had counseled her and said, no, you don't need to do that, and so forth. But she wanted to do it so bad, she went over in the church, and she fasted and prayed for 2 days. And then she came out and said, oh, Brother Hagin, the Lord told me I could do this. And my dad, some of you didn't know him, he just looked at her and said, the Lord didn't tell you that. Oh, yes, he did. Well, she went ahead and did it, and it wasn't 3 weeks. She was back on knocking on the pastor's door praying, oh, pray, I'm in a mess. Well, it's because she wanted to do it so bad that she made it happen. Sometimes if you fail to listen to what God's telling you, he just backs off and you let you do what you want to do. I don't know whether y'all getting anything out of this or not. But Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Now the NLT says it. The Lord says, I will guide you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now, Corrie ten Boone, she was a survivor of the Holocaust, And so after World War II, she was invited to America to speak. She applied for traveling documents and refused. The Dutch officials were unwilling to even listen to her, to even think about processing her request. And so she had claimed this scripture, Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. So now she's standing in line for the, I don't know how many times she had been there to the, so a man walked by and smiled at her and stopped and looked at her and said, you're my cousin. I haven't seen you in years. And she said, I asked him, I said, oh yeah, are you going to America too? He said, no, my office is in this building. If you have any trouble, ring me up. Here's my number. When she got up to the window to talk to the guy, the official was curt and coarse like he always was, refusing everything that she asked. She simply slid that telephone number across to him, said, will you call this number, please, and ask them about this? The man looked at the paper and his eyes got wide. He dialed the number, spoke a few words, and hung up and promptly issued her traveling papers. Evidently, he was somebody. She didn't say who it was. And for the rest of her life, she went on Psalms 32:8, and she said she constantly bumped into the right people at the right time that paved her way to travel all over the world telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Actually, that verse of scripture, sort of paraphrased, says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Following your heart will help you in every situation in your life. Learn to respond with your heart instead of your head. Remember, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you, and he will faithfully guide you in every area of your life if you'll learn to listen to him. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few moments tonight about learning to listen to their heart, listen to their spirit, so you can lead, guide, guard, and direct them in every area of their life. I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your Spirit that lives within us, that will guide us if we'll listen. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Praise the Lord. Well, Sunday is a special day. So y'all all be here. It's Mother's Day. Like they said, they're doing that special deal. So, hey, don't forget about the announcement, the picture of you and your mom. Send it in. If you happen to be in this service tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you can't be led by the Spirit until you know Him. Or you know what it is to be led by the Spirit and born again, but you've just sort of got off course, taken a detour. You need to come back and rededicate your life. The men are over here. The ladies are over here. If that's you, as we're dismissed, you come down here. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason, anything, you want somebody somebody to pray with you, our prayer partners are down here to pray with you. I don't think we had any first-time guests. Did we have any first-time guests? I don't think so. But if you are a first-time guest, go to that QR code, find out about us, and come on back, and you won't be a guest for next time because we call this home, and we welcome you home. Shake hands with somebody. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now.